And in this chapter and the following chapter is where we'll be spending our time this evening, Matthew chapter 8 and 9. And something that's mentioned a number of times just in these two chapters. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And the subject of our message this evening is according to thy faith. According to thy faith. And it is amazing to me the things that we see God do and that we can see God do if we'll have the faith. The faith that is necessary to see those things accomplished. There have been some people through the years that have just amazed me with their faith. And I know one of the people that has a tremendous reputation around our nation for this particular subject of faith and having great faith is a man named Dr. Tom Williams. And he is just, there's story after story of people, for instance, that, you know, a husband and wife that have tried to have children for years and had asked Dr. Williams to pray for them and to pray over them, and he did. And what do you know, shortly thereafter, they were able to get pregnant and have a baby, or different, all kinds of things that would, I didn't read it, but I got just recently, this week, I was unpacking my boxes of books downstairs, and I saw a book in there that belonged to my father, and I haven't had a chance to look through it yet, but the title of the book was, Does God Still Perform Miracles Today? And I would say, in short, the answer to that question is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. And just, it is oftentimes the reason that we don't see God do great things, and when I say we, I'm talking about me as much as anybody else in this room, is because of our lack of faith. We just, we believe, the best way I can describe it is, I heard a preacher preach once on this subject, and he said, we believe that he can. And sometimes even when we pray, I know myself, I've caught myself praying this way many times where I'll say, God, I'm asking you to do this and I believe that you can do this. And we believe oftentimes that God has the ability because we know what the Bible says and we have this head knowledge that says God can do anything. I mean, the Bible says that he can. Is anything too hard for God? The answer to that, of course, is no. And so we say, yes, I believe that God, you can do this. And we'll pray even that way. But there's another word that if we'll insert that and actually believe it, it makes all the difference in the world, and that is, God, I believe that you will. I believe that you will. I have faith that you will do it. The head knowledge of saying I believe that you can is a lot different, worlds apart from the heart knowledge of saying, God, I believe that you will do this. And that's the subject of my message this evening. Let's look at a familiar passage in Matthew chapter number 8, starting in verse number 5. It says this, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. Centurion comes, says, Lord, my servant is sick at home. He's beseeching him on behalf of somebody else. He says, my servant is sick at home, and Jesus said to him, I'll come heal him. That's a wonderful thing. That's an exciting thing, but let's keep reading. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the testimony of this centurion. I thank you for, God, the challenge that that is to us today. And God, I pray that you would help each of us to look at this and the other examples we're going to examine this evening and see what it is that you would have for us to do, for us to pray and for us to believe and to put into action. God, I love you so much. I pray that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit's power tonight, that you would do the work that only you can in lives. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, again, I've preached on this passage, and the man that amazed Jesus. Jesus marveled at the faith of this man, of this centurion. God was amazed, the man who amazed God. And he said, why was he so amazed? Because the centurion said to him, Lord, I believe that you can just speak the word. He said, I understand what authority is. The centurion said, God, I am a man of authority. I have soldiers under me. I have servants under me. And if I say to this soldier, do this, he does it. And if I say to this one, come here, he comes. If I say to my servant, do this, he does it. If I say, you go over there, he goes over there. I understand the centurion had a good grasp on what authority was. And what he says to God here is he says, Lord, I understand that you have the authority to speak the word and heal my servant. You don't have to be there to do it. You don't have, he said, I understand what authority is, and I understand that you have all of the authority. And God marveled at that. He was amazed at that. He said, man, all right. He even pointed it out to the people around him. He says, look at the faith of this man. It's amazing to me, that being Jesus, that somebody would have this kind of faith. And we know that Jesus has said to folks also throughout the gospel, he said, if you would have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. There would be no door that was shut to you. There would be nothing that you could not accomplish if you just have faith. And in these couple of chapters, I just want to look at this and a couple of other passages where God did things based on people's faith. Turn with me, if you will, over to chapter 9, just probably over to the next page, maybe in your Bible, maybe two pages over. Chapter number 9 of the book of Matthew, and continuing along this same vein, verse number 20 of Matthew chapter number 9. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You notice in this passage and the previous one that we looked at, it said, when was the servant healed? It said that self same hour. Immediately he was healed. And now this woman, she comes, a woman with the issue of blood. You're probably familiar with the story. She comes and she says, you know, Jesus, there's a multitude pressing around him, and she knows that probably, hey, for me to get time with him, that's kind of like, you know, I one time had the opportunity with the first President Bush to go to the airport when he flew into the airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And there was just a tremendous multitude of people there. And I didn't have an appointment with them. I didn't have some special security clearance, a pass to get on the red carpet or anything like that. I was just there, and I just saw him get off the plane and go to his car and leave. And he was just surrounded by a multitude of people. I got to see him in person, but I didn't even get to shake his hand. I can't imagine the multitude of people that was around Jesus and the press people. And this is a lady that's very sick. And if you know, she's got an issue of blood. And so it's a blood disease and probably very, very physically weak lady. Not a lot of strength at all. She doesn't have the power like a strapping young man to push her way through. Excuse me. I need to see Jesus. I need to get in front of him. She may not even have had the power to stand up in front of him and tell him what her need was. And I, in my own mind, I kind of picture a lady, maybe even on the ground, crawling, trying to get through people. Just to get close to Jesus. Because she said in her heart, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Nobody told her that. Jesus, you don't see any place before this where Jesus says, hey, if you just touch me, you'll be healed. If you can touch my clothes, you will be healed. He hadn't said that. But she had heard of his reputation, obviously with her illness. She wasn't following Jesus around all these different cities and watching him heal people and keeping up with him like some of these young people could do or other people. She just had heard of his reputation. And she knew that if she could just get to Jesus, she would be healed. She had a need, a very real need in her own life. The centurion was going on behalf of somebody else, on behalf of his servant, somebody that he cared about, and saying, Lord, I'm asking you to heal him. But this lady, she didn't even speak to Jesus. She just wanted to touch his garment because she believed in her heart. Her faith said, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just get close enough to him for that, I will be made whole. I believe that my sickness will be healed. And Jesus, it says in another passage that he sensed that virtue had gone out of him. He sensed that somebody had been healed by him. He's God Almighty. We know that. And we know that he is omniscient and he knows everything. And there was no big surprise to him. But he turns around and he sees her here in this passage. And it says, verse 22, but Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole. From that hour, he says, look, did God have the power to save her even if she didn't believe? Sure. God can do great things in spite of ourselves. Can God grow a church someplace if not everybody is behind it? Yes, he can. Can God help your children to turn out if you don't do everything right and raise them right? Of course he can. God can do anything in spite of us. God says if these would be silent, the rocks would cry out. There's nothing stopping God from accomplishing what he sets his mind to accomplish. But he used this woman's faith to illustrate to the people around. Again, I believe that the reason... Could he have just turned around to this woman and said, be made whole? Sure he could have. Could he have said, be healed? Sure he could have. But he made a point, just like with the centurion. He made a point of saying, thy faith hath made thee whole. He made a point of telling her, look, the reason that I'm going to do this for you, the reason I'm going to heal you, is because of your faith. There are many things in my life that I want to see God do. There are many things probably in your life that you would like to see God do. Often, each night when we pray with our children, each of my children, through over different times, sometimes over a lengthy period of time, will say, I have an unspoken request. Sometimes maybe I will, or my wife will, or one of us. Sometimes when we have a prayer meeting, somebody might say, Preacher, I have an unspoken request. Something that is just on my heart that I don't feel comfortable sharing with everybody else. We all have requests, burdens that maybe we don't want to burden other people with. Maybe it's just something that's a private matter, whatever the case is. But we want to see God do something. And sometimes it's something that's huge. And sometimes it's something that's small. Sometimes it's something that's huge that may literally be life or death. Sometimes it's just the desires of our heart, something that would be important to us. And we don't want to share with other people. Maybe we're embarrassed that we're even praying about it. But the thing is, God says the only limit to our prayers, to seeing God do great things, is our faith. He says, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you hear some preacher say, well, if you ask for anything, God will give it to you. And it doesn't stop there, though. That passage goes on to say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So it is important that we pray within the will of God, but it goes back to experiencing and being, keeping ourselves, as I mentioned this morning, in the love of God, in a right relationship with God, because as we do that, there is nothing, the Bible said, like I mentioned earlier, is anything too hard for God. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ. But we have to have the faith to believe that it is possible. Not that I can do it. I don't have, you know, it's not about these power of positive thinking. Believe in yourself. You got to believe. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I cannot trust myself. I cannot believe in myself. But I can believe in God, and I can believe in the power of God and God's ability to accomplish miraculous things in and through me. It's not about, can I accomplish this? Can I grow a church in Cleveland, Georgia? The answer to that is absolutely not. But you know who can? God can. And I believe that He will. I can't, you know, can I, Pastor King, I'm going to come to you for counseling because we're having problems in our home. Can I fix the problems in your home? No, absolutely not. But God can. Pastor King, we've got physical problems, tremendous physical needs. You can come to me, and the first thing I'll do is probably tell you, go talk to Dr. Williams, because I don't know anything about it. I never even heard that word before that you just told me. I don't know how to pronounce that. There's some, I can't even read the ingredients on the back of the cereal that my children eat. I don't know what that stuff is, but I can't help you. But I can tell you who can. God can. God can. God can fix anything if He chooses to. And sometimes He chooses to allow us to experience things, allow us to go through hardships, to go through difficult times. But I believe oftentimes the reason He allows us to do that is so that we will understand and appreciate the good things that He does allow in our lives. When my grandfather died at 92 years old, yes, we mourned his loss, but we also rejoiced in the fact that we had 92 years. I didn't obviously have 92 years with him, but I got to spend nearly 30 years of my life with my grandfather. Grew up right next door to him my whole growing up life. And he was one of those people that he was like the David Cash of Winnebago County in Wisconsin. He was, if you said, Grandpa, who owns that farm? If you go down Bradley Road and then you turn on O'Reilly Road and you go down there about 2 miles, that old farm that's on the right hand side down there, who owns that? He'd say, oh, so-and-so owns that now, but back before them, this fellow owned it, and then his grandson owned it, and, you know, he probably lost it in a card game to so-and-so, and this person had it before that, and he could just tell you the whole county. It's like he knew everybody in the history of every single property that was there. And it was one of those things. Sometimes we would ask Grandpa questions just to see if we could possibly stump him. But what about this? Okay, so-and-so owns this now, or so-and-so lives here now, but who before that? What about the feed store downtown? Who owns the feed store? Well, so-and-so does now, but they, 50 years ago, so-and-so owned it. The person that started it was this person. They started it with this building over here, and then it got moved to over there. Because he has that knowledge and that understanding. For us, we don't all have all knowledge and understanding. We don't all have the ability to fix. We don't all see the root of a problem necessarily all the time. But God does, and that's why our faith placed in anything but God is misplaced faith. And we see with the centurion and then with the woman with the issue of blood, we see this faith. Just faith. Faith not in themselves. Faith not in their own ability. Faith not in anything but God and His ability to fix the problem. We're going to look at one more passage like this down in the same chapter, chapter 9, verse 27. Just down a few more verses, chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. He said, look, they said, Master, heal us. They followed Him. He's walking. Maybe they're a long ways off. Master, heal us. Heal us, please. Heal us. They knew His reputation. They knew He had the ability. They had the head knowledge. But then He comes into the house and they finally catch up with Him and they come in and they say, please heal us. And what does He say? Do you believe that I can do this? He wasn't asking because He wasn't sure. He wasn't asking because He was wondering, I'm not really sure if I can do this or not. Do you guys think I can do this? No. He was asking to see their faith. They said, Master, heal us. He said, do you believe that I can? And they said, yes, Lord, absolutely, we believe. And so then what does He say? He doesn't touch their eyes and say, be healed. What does He say? He touches them and He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, okay, you say you believe. If you believe, you're going to be healed. If you're just saying that and you don't really believe, you won't be healed. He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And what happened is they both got healed. So what does that tell us? They believed. They had faith. That's what we need today. That's what I need in my life. That's what you need in your life, is the faith to believe that God not just can, but that God will. I believe that God can do miracles because I've seen Him do them in other people's lives. I believe that God can do miracles because I've experienced them in my own life. And you can tell stories and hear stories and missionaries and all these other people telling you about the wonderful things, the miraculous things that God did. We talked about Ms. Gay telling us about some family friends of theirs, or family of theirs, that this the little baby that had these defects and all these things, and people prayed and all of a sudden it's a miracle. The doctors can't explain it. Things are better, and I know that everything's not perfect right now. I believe God's trying to do a work there, but the truth is God can do miracles. If He can't, let me ask you a question. Why do we pray? If we don't believe that God can do something about it, why do we pray? We pray for salvation. Do you understand that for one soul to be saved is a miracle? For one soul to be saved is a miracle. The fact that you're saved today is a miracle. Can God still do miracles today? Does God still work miracles today? Absolutely He does. The fact that I'm saved is a miracle. We sang this morning, I'm glad He saves old sinners like me. I'm glad for that. And that is a miracle. The fact that you're breathing today, the fact that I'm breathing today is a miracle of God. God still does miracles. The miracle, a baby being born is a miracle. A life being transformed is a miracle. God can and will and does still today do miracles. Let's look at one other passage. We're going to go back to chapter number 8. Sometimes God does miracles because of our faith. Sometimes what we're going to look at right now is God does miracles in spite of our lack of faith. Let's look at chapter 8 and verse number 23. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 23. Says this, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" These are his disciples. These are the men that earlier in this same chapter saw him heal a man that he wasn't even anywhere near to, just by speaking the words. They are in a ship with the Son of God. And the storms get bad. Let me tell you something. When you come to those times in your life when the storms get bad, if you're a Christian, he's in the ship with you. And I promise you, he's not freaked out by the storm. The storm doesn't scare him. He can sleep through the storm. Why? Because he knows that he's in control of the storm. He's in control of the storm. Man, you don't understand the things that I'm going through. Maybe, Pastor King, you've never been through this. Or maybe, Brother Jack, you've never experienced what I'm experiencing. Or Brother Wesley, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. And that may very well be the case, but God does. God knows what your storm is. God knows exactly what every storm you ever have or ever will face. God knows what it is. He knows where it came from. He knows where it's going. He knows how long it's going to last. And sometimes, He may even change the course of that storm if you'll just ask Him and have faith that He will. The disciples, He said to them, "O ye of little faith, where is your faith?" He says, "Y'all have seen me do miracles. Seen me do miraculous things that nobody can explain. You don't understand. Why is it that you can see that and later on the same day or in the same chapter of the Bible, you see this and they're at their wits' end with Jesus standing right there next to them?" You know, whatever storm it is that's in your life, Jesus is in the ship with you. He's in the storm with you. He's there. Oh man, things are horrible and they can be overwhelming. They can be. I mean, just a couple of things that we've been through with our children or other things with family and things like that, that it seems like you are the only one there and nobody else is there and you don't know what to do. You know, when a 1-year-old or 1.5-year-old has a seizure on your bed in the middle of the night and you don't know what to do and she stops breathing and it's a lonely time. It's a scary time and it seems like every second is an hour and you don't know what to do. He's right there. He didn't go anywhere. He says, "Hey," sometimes you just get that feeling like he taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, I'm right here. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." our faith. It's not His ability that changes. It's our faith in His ability. And a lot of times, we believe, like I said, we have faith in that He can. But we don't really believe that God would do that for us. It's not personal. I believe that God can heal people because I would venture to say, if I had to guess, I would say probably just about everybody in this room knows somebody or knows at least of somebody who has been miraculously healed. Doctors can't explain it. Something happened. Doctor said something horrible was going to happen or said this, that, or the other thing. And miraculously, that person was healed. And the doctors were wrong. And so, all of us probably would say, or most everybody here would say, you know what? I know I've seen it, or I've heard of it, or I've experienced it. I know that God can do miracles. But this is my situation. This is me. And it's different. You know, God would do that for somebody else, but I'm not sure that God would do that for me. He wants to do that for you. My kids always ask me who's their favorite. My girls were asking me this evening, this afternoon. We were sitting in the living room, and Michaela was sitting over here, Emily was sitting over here, and Chloe's sitting over there, and they were discussing, asking me which one of them was my favorite. And Michaela says, everybody knows that I'm the favorite. And I looked over at her, I'd be like, and then Emily's over here, and I'm like, no, she's not the favorite. You're the favorite. I look at Michaela, I said, Chloe, who's daddy's favorite? She said, yeah, you're the favorite. I was going to be like, no, you're not. Hey, God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't have favorites. God, there's not a person on the face of the earth that God loves more than He loves you. Not one. He doesn't pick and choose and say, you know, I want to do great things for this one, but not for this one. Basically, a lot, God chooses a different path for everybody. I'm not saying that He doesn't choose different paths for people. But God desires to do miraculous things in your life just as much as my life or the person sitting across the aisle from you or somebody down the road. God desires to do miracles in your life and mine. And I could spend the entire night telling you about miracles that God has done in my life. Keep a list of answered prayer. Keep a list of answered prayer. And when things get tough, when you're going through a tough time, go back to that list and look at that list. And not just when times are tough, but you know, when you're doing your devotion or something like that and you say, you know what? I just want to rejoice in the Lord. You turn over in your little prayer journal or whatever, you find that list of answered prayer and just look at it. God did this. Oh, I remember. Hey, you remember that? You have a conversation with yourself or share it with somebody else. Call up somebody else. Say, I just want to rejoice in the Lord with you. I just want to tell you how good God is to me. God, you remember the time when God did this? Or do you remember when this happened? Or remember when you and me, back when we were kids and we went through this and God did this? Or we saw God do that? One of my best friend from high school, I still sometimes will get on the phone and we'll talk about different things that God allowed us to see or God allowed us to do. Do you remember when, you know, when we did something dumb and God rescued us from it? God saved us out of it. God pulled us out of this. Do you remember when this happened? Or, hey, remember when we used to get together on Wednesdays at lunchtime and read our Bible and kind of hold each other accountable? And some of those times, some of the things that we discussed, some of the things that God did, and now to look at where we are today and the opportunity to pastor a church, and he's the youth pastor up there at my dad's church, and we get to serve the Lord together. What a blessing that is. We forget how good God has been to us. And sometimes it's because the problems that we're facing right now are overwhelming. But if you took all the problems up to this time, all the prayers that God has answered up to this time, and if you wrote them down and you looked at, hey, if I looked at all those things, guess what? That's overwhelming too. Looking ahead at those things, that was overwhelming. But now God took me through that storm and God calmed that storm and now I'm okay. And maybe I'm in another storm right now, but if I look back and see, hey, the last time God calmed the storm, the last time God brought me through it, the last time this happened or something else happened, God took me through this, or hey, here's something I was praying with somebody else about and God took them through it, so I know that God can take me through this. I know that God will get me through this. I know it'll be okay. Why? Because of my faith in God's ability to meet my needs. God's ability to take care of whatever it is. A servant that's sick, a woman with an issue of blood, two blind men. There's other stories throughout the Bible of God doing miraculous things. I love the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to just tell ourselves as Christians, hey, calm down. God's still in control. It's going to be okay. You don't understand the stress of this situation, and I understand there's a lot of people today, a lot of people that are under tremendous, particularly financial stress due to our economy and other things going on, and folks that are just worried about what's going to, you know, maybe worried about where the meal's going to come from tomorrow. Maybe it's you're worried about if things, what's going to happen a year from now or 5 years from now, or I had a long-term plan and the time's not running out, but the money is, and I don't know what I'm going to do, or I'm going to have to get a job as a Walmart greeter. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, or maybe physical needs, and the doctor said there's nothing they can do, or everything they're trying is not working. Whatever the case is, maybe it's a broken relationship, and I've tried everything I can to mend it. I've done everything I can to rebuild that. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you exactly what to do. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. The truth is, all the fretting and the stressing and everything else that we do about a situation anyways, whether we take it to Him or not, it's in His hands anyways. Whether we leave it in His hands is up to us. We oftentimes drive ourselves crazy trying to fix something that's out of our hands rather than taking it to the Lord. You look at some of the just examples of people through the Bible. Take Daniel, for instance. You notice nowhere in the Bible does it say when the king passed a decree that nobody could pray to anybody except the king. Daniel didn't say, "Oh, what am I going to do now? I don't know. I want to do what's right, but my life is on the line here. I don't know what I should do." What did he do? He didn't stress out. He didn't worry about it. What did he do? He just kept doing what he knew that God wanted him to do. This is what God commanded me to do. There's never been any doubt about that. So I'm going to keep doing that. The results of what happens, that's in God's hands. Did Daniel know that God was going to close up the mouths of the lions? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know that they weren't going to get burned up in that fiery furnace? Not at all. They knew God was in control. And because of that, they had a calm in the midst of a storm. "According to thy faith, be it unto you." That's what God said over and over again. According to your faith. God will answer your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. But you have to pray a prayer of faith. If you're here this evening, the first prayer of faith that you need to pray is the prayer of salvation. If you're here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the very first prayer that you need to pray is, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Ask the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to come into your heart and save you. And then once you get that settled, there is no door that's closed to you. The Bible says anything too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that He cannot accomplish. As I look across this room, I think about just situation after situation of people with tremendous, tremendous needs. God is in control of every single one of those situations. Every single one. There's nothing that He can't do. And I'd encourage you to leave it at the cross. Leave it at the Lord's feet. And don't let it be that stressor in your life, that thing that just makes your life miserable because you carry it around with you all the time. And there are some burdens that we will carry, but we don't have to carry them alone. He says, trust me. Have faith in God. And watch what He can do. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for tonight. Lord, we're going to have an invitation here in just a minute. And if there's somebody in the auditorium tonight that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, I pray that they'd get that settled before they go home this evening. And then, Lord, for those that are saved, I pray that You'd give us that calm assurance, that confidence in You, that we can leave it at the cross. Lord, I pray that You would answer the prayers I've been praying. You know my heart. You know some of the things that I've been praying for. And Lord, many of those things are things that are far beyond my ability or the ability of anybody in this room to do. But I'm asking You to do some great, great things. And I believe that You can. But Lord, I pray that You'd give me the faith to believe that You will. And then to watch and see You do miraculous, miraculous things. God, I love You so much. I pray that You bless the invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand this evening.